And here we are for another episode of Dualistic Unity Social. This one directly after our 8th Dualistic Unity retreat in Vancouver this time. What an incredible experience. There was a lot that happened in this experience. And I know some people who are on our Discord were trying to figure out what had happened. And I know I filled in some details for some people. So you'll find more context there. But I really want to talk about the fact that the Dualistic Unity community cannot be a community in the traditional sense. It cannot be a collective. There is this tendency of us, of ours, to fall back on this, like, we're in this together. And while that is true to a certain degree, that mentality can become poison. It's how you start trying to take responsibility for others. It's where you start trying to uplift them when it is their responsibility to lift themselves. It's where you start assuming the best out of every single message from every single person and not addressing each message with an unbiased attention, with a certain degree of skepticism and awareness. And it is because we are trying to maintain the quote-unquote community. And while that sounds really nice, it seems like a really good intention, it seems like there's a lot of love there, it ends up taking away the source that true love and compassion can come from, which is you, the individual. This community is a community of one. That is the only way it will survive and not become another fucking religion. It's a community of one, which means that you are solely on your own. And in that, we can all relate to you. But as soon as you try to escape that, everything goes to shit. We are not here to uplift one another. We are here to remind each other that we don't need to be uplifted. And if the only way to do that is to walk away and take yourself away as a crutch, then that is the compassionate thing to do. I really want to talk about this today because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to want to grab onto a collective. And as much as that might offer you some solace, it might offer you some comfort, it will inevitably disempower you. It is the reason that we have religion. It is the reason that we are where we are right now. It's because we keep thinking as a collective instead of individually responsible for each and every one of our own responses. And in that, there is a collective intelligence. But as soon as we try to be a collective, we stop being a singular intelligence, which is limitless.
Yeah, and in a society that is full of crutches, there's this assumption that it's just a part of who and what we are, right? Like, religion runs rampant throughout reality. So many things run rampant as, you know, avoidance, distractions, excuses, kind of putting something on something else or someone else, or leaning on someone else, or the expectation to, and the desire to be leaned on, because it goes both ways, that, you know, enabling sort of behavior. And oftentimes, you know, people derive a sense of comfort from both sides, right? From being able to lean and being leaned on. And so the responsibility falls on, you know, just you, whichever side you fall upon. There's almost, they almost go hand in hand in a sense. Like, there's more of a willingness to be there for someone if you expect others to be there for you, and there in the way that you assume that others will or should be there for you, right? And so with that assumption, it just comes down to you and your willingness, because with the responses, and I'm certainly, you know, have fallen into all of these sorts of things throughout my life. And, you know, with that, like, you want to assume that you can be there to help someone, or kind of assume the best. And we see that in typical responses in people in the community is just constant support. But when you see that, you know, crutches are a support, you know, you break your foot, you need crutches for a bit, but eventually if you keep using those crutches, the foot will never heal. So you got to get rid of the crutches, and support seems like this thing that's this objectively sort of beneficial thing, like here to support you. I need some support here. But when you play it out, and how many situations do we have in reality, you know, with being, you know, a baby, you know, needs support, needs a lot of support as a child, and progressively over time, less and less and less support is necessary. And yet there's so many things that we continue to rely on to as a source of, you know, support. And there's a lot of things that we utilize for that. And so it's kind of been almost built in a sense, as a natural response to situations, is the feeling like, you know, support is always good. Like support is always beneficial, but like with everything, there's a balance. And if we fall on one side, you know, thinking that there's a right answer, that's never going to be the case. Like there's always a balance with everything. And especially in, you know, a community, it's like there can be the perception of a community, but to go all in on thinking like, this is it, I'm part of this, it's like, is discounting the individual experience, the individual process of yourself. And it comes down to you and your experience and your willingness to look at it, because there's ways that you're held back by relying upon support. You know, if you run a race with crutches, despite being able to run without crutches, you're going to be able to run a lot faster without crutches, right? Even though there's that support, but it seems like, oh, okay, you know, keep using that, but then you find your balance. But if you're not used to running without crutches, there's going to be, you know, some stumbling, some off balance steps until you find that footing, you find that balance. And then, you know, running is way more fun without a crutch than with a crutch, like biking without training wheels versus with training wheels. And that experience, there isn't that, you know, bumper, but you got you. And so there's just so many ways that it plays out and has impact over your experience. But you know, the idea that you're in it with anyone else, and anyone else is there, you know, always there to support, is not the case. And if you think it is, it's always gonna, you know, become a hindrance to you and your experience. So it has to be a willingness to do it on your own as yourself.
And this brings us, I think, to the next subject, which is really important, the idea of forgiveness. Right? I was having this conversation earlier today. We get so caught up in the perspective of other people that when we start thinking about our actions, we think, well, if other people forgive me, I'm good to go. Right? That there's a blank slate, that now I can just continue on with what I was doing because everybody has forgiven me. So therefore, I've done nothing wrong, as it were. And that is a serious danger. But when it comes to forgiving ourselves, that relationship doesn't work. We can't look at ourselves and go, I'm sorry. And then go, well, no worries, I forgive you. Because we still have to deal with what we know we did. We still have to deal with what we know we did. We can't give ourselves a pass. Right? It's very difficult to do so. And so we look to others for that. And the problem with this idea of community is that we want to do the compassionate thing. And the first thing we do is say something like, you know, well, don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. And it's not that you shouldn't worry about it. It's not that you shouldn't be accountable for it. It's that you shouldn't judge yourself for it. Shouldn't judge yourself for whatever it is you're doing. It's not that you have been diminished. But that doesn't mean that you're not feeling that pain. You're not feeling that guilt. You're not feeling that shame. You're not feeling all that stuff because of some awareness that you have of a ripple that you've made that you don't like. See, that's the thing, is that the emotion itself isn't a bad thing, but we take it and then we're like, well, therefore I'm a piece of shit, and that makes it so much worse. But we're feeling something because we're aware of something that we've done. And if we're not willing to be accountable for what we've done, then we can't learn from what we've done, and we're likely to continue to repeat it, which is why forgiveness from other people can actually set someone back. The best thing you can say is there's nothing to forgive. but there is still a consequence. There is still a ripple. What you've done still happened. People feel differently. That doesn't mean that you are a worse person. It's just that now your environment has changed because of your actions. It has nothing to do with you. It's not fucking personal. So if it's not personal, then there's nothing to forgive. In which case, it's just, how are you going to now act in this new environment? How are you going to now act with these new considerations? And often we don't want to look at it that way. We don't want to go, oh, look at all these new considerations. We just want it to go away. Like, I'm sorry. Can we just go back to the way it was? Can you just give me a, can you justify why I did this? You know, I can come up with excuses. It's like, it doesn't matter though, because it's already happened. You know, I don't want you to go back to who you were, because now I've seen more of who you are. And while that might be uncomfortable for you and me, that's growth. And that is the reason for responsibility. That's the reason that this community cannot be a community in the sense that everybody's thinking, or that people tend to think. This has to be a community by result, not by intention. We can't be trying to form a community of people who are compassionate and like-minded. We can't be. We can't be trying to conform or form. We can't be trying to conform. That's actually a really good point, to some idea of what this community should be. The community is a result of what you are and everybody else individually is doing. And so if we're all leaning on one another, then the community becomes a reflection of irresponsibility. And that is how slippery that slope is. It's really that easy. And it really comes just under the guise of good intention. Well, what's wrong with being there for one another? Depends what you mean. It depends if that means always being the loving, supporting person, or recognizing that sometimes that's the absolute worst fucking thing for someone.
Yeah, well said. And with the shifts, right, the new considerations, it's interesting, because as that perspective shifts and you start to see yourself, you know, as actions are taken, looked at, it's like forgiveness almost, to your point, like there's some change, some ripple that happens. And then forgiveness is like a reversion to a version of you that hasn't changed, and yet it has. And so if you have an aversion to change, a specific way that you see yourself, seeing yourself in a new way, you know, with the new considerations, including the actions that you've taken, it's like that's a different version of you with now more considerations, more clarity through actions that you've done. It's like we recognize actions and others, learn from those, but we very much recognize things and have the opportunity to learn things in ourselves that then opens up, you know, that experience of seeing, you know, what we are, who we are, what we're capable of. And with that, you know, the narrative, the typical idea, if we're willing to let that go, we're willing to see, like, oh, I am capable of doing this. I am capable of being this type of person. And so that consideration comes into play. And if you're avoiding seeing yourself in that way, you're never going to be able to see it in others. And if you're not willing to see it in yourself in that way, you're going to get caught off guard by others who act in that way. And so that farce of being a good person is such a fucking blinder. Like, everyone wants to feel like they're a good person, see themselves as a good person. And it's one of the most blinding things that we can do, because we won't look at the things that, you know, maybe makes us feel like we're not a great person, because we're not. No one is. Everyone does things on varying degrees of spectrums in an, like, varying considerations, you know? And so it's interesting how we run towards forgiveness as opposed to just being willing to change, like to realize, like, this is a new version of my version of me that now is able to see more things and can act differently based on those considerations. Right. And so being willing to see that then allows for that change to continue on. But the, you know, sulking, feeling bad, judging yourself is almost like a running back towards the version of yourself that you know, that doesn't include, you know, the new considerations. And so seeing the new considerations allows for that new variation to play out with more considerations and more potential in that, because you're willing to look at more as opposed to keeping this very specific siloed point of view. And oftentimes when you're willing to look at, you know, one end of the spectrum, other ends of the spectrum open up. But if you're not willing to look at that end of the spectrum, you know, that, oh, maybe I'm not a good person, there's more things that come into play that allow you to feel more free and continue to open yourself up. But if we run back to, you know, I wish that didn't happen, it's like, that was in there. That was in there, and that was being suppressed. It's not to say that it's a good thing that it happened, but there's an opportunity in seeing something play out in yourself. And if you immediately judge it, you immediately are like, you know, sulk and run and avoid and not deal with it, there isn't going to be the ability to, you know, continue to open up your eyes even more to see yourself differently. And if there's the running from that, then the familiar stories are going to stick around, because that side of you that you were suppressing was a part of the familiar story. And so if it's not suppressed as much, the story changes, which allows for the entire story to change, because it was, all of those things have been in there. They were sitting right there under the surface, and it's uncomfortable for them to come out however they come out. But it's not to say that there was inherently something wrong with them coming out. It's an opportunity then to see yourself differently and not run from this new version of yourself that you see.
Exactly. Which is really all we're doing at any of our retreats, is giving people an opportunity to feel a little bit more like themselves, to venture out, to maybe have conversations that they wouldn't normally have, or express things that they wouldn't normally express in an environment where everybody knows that that's what's happening. But the danger is going to the retreat with the idea, well, I'm surrounded with compassionate people who are going to help me find happiness and the sense of fulfillment. And that right there is, I'm going to a place looking for a custom-made crutch. Instead, I'm going to a place where I can try to walk without one, with people around me who are like, you can do this, you got this, which is very different. It's very different. And so this is why I say, like, this community, if there is a community, if there continues to be a community, because this is a very real danger. This is a very real danger that we get so lost in this idea of being one that we forget that means you. That's solely what that means, is being you. Because there is a danger there, because otherwise this community will not last. It will just become another opportunity to make ourselves feel better, to intellectually or spiritually masturbate, basically. You know, it won't be an opportunity for growth. It'll be another opportunity to stagnate, so we can all just feel good stagnating, you know, and that's not what this is about. So just remember that. Like, if you're interacting with somebody, listen to what they're saying. Don't assume anything based on the fact that they're a part of the community. Don't listen to what they're saying and go, yeah, good for you. Listen to what they're saying, because perhaps they're expressing something that you should be questioning or helping to question. Perhaps, you know, just in doing so and making them feel better, you are in fact making it harder for them to accept the changes that they're experiencing. We're not always supposed to feel good. We're not always supposed to be, woo, I'm so excited to be alive. Because sometimes we get so excited, so carried away in that excitement, that we start hurting other people without even noticing it. And at that point, our awareness is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And sometimes we translate that as guilt and shame, right? But it's just us going, whoa, 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 there's something happening. But we don't like that. We want to continue doing what we were doing, chasing that excitement, right? we don't want to let the excitement die, so we can't feel the guilt and the shame then, because that'll ruin the fucking party. And so we push it away and we chase even harder and it gets even worse. So this isn't about being a compassionate community. This is about you being honest and authentic in yourself, which is the only compassionate thing you can truly do, because everything else that you do compassionate towards quote unquote others, if it's not a reflection of who you are, isn't true compassion. Which means that this is a reflection of your relationship with yourself. And this is true for every single person in this community, every single person listening to this podcast, you listener right now, this is just about you. You don't need anybody else here to hold you up, and you don't need to hold up anyone else. But paying attention, being aware, using every opportunity to grow, to question yourself, to question others, to just pay attention and open yourself up to all the considerations, that is the best thing you can do for anyone, because then you're growing, which is the best thing for you, and you're everything that is.
Yeah, and that desire to help someone else, be there for someone else, is reflective of ourselves in the sense that it's almost an avoidance of looking at ourself. Like if I'm helping someone else, I don't have to look at myself in the same way. You know, I can hit pause on my own stuff and help this person out, as opposed to just being there listening to them. Like the assumption that, you know, compassion, being nice, being kind is always the correct answer, like goes hand in hand, like how we treat ourselves and how we treat other people, and always running back towards, you know, compassion for ourselves is oftentimes an aversion to that change, right? Like it allows us to maintain the story of who and what we are by being that, you know, empathetic, compassionate, always, you know, it's all right sort of feeling towards things and people. It's always just reflective of ourselves, because there's no one else that we're ever interacting with. And so everything that we do, of course, it's reflective of ourselves, of our relationship with how we see things. Like we only see things, obviously there's the appearance of variations of the way that we see reality, but we kind of only ever see things in one way, in a specific, and it's like a it's not like one way, but it's kind of a specific set of ways in a sense, based on how we view ourselves. Because that story of ourself is just a specific story. And so everything in reality that we see is going to be somewhat reflective of that story that we're telling ourselves. You know, the ways that we see people, the things that people are going through, like we kind of oftentimes assume they see us in the same way that we see ourselves. We assume they see other people in the way that we see other people. We assume that they either go through or don't go through the same exact things we go through. Like if we see them as other, I almost can assume that, you know, no one else could go through things in the same way, as opposed to being willing to let go of any side of the certainty. Like people definitely see things in the same way, or people definitely don't see things in the same way. People definitely experience things in the exact same way, or people definitely don't experience things in the exact same way. There's no definitive. There's no answer. So all you can do is pay attention. All you can do is be sensitive. All you can do is be willing to like treat others how you would treat yourself, which isn't it's not like the nice thing. It's the willingness to be honest with yourself. Cause that whole thing, you know, the golden rule, silver rule, whatever. I think it's a golden rule, but treat others how you want to be treated. It's like, there's a lot of potential for enabling, for stagnation in that, because how you want to be treated isn't necessarily what's best for you. How you're willing to treat yourself. Like, be honest with yourself, be honest with others, how you would be honest with yourself if you're willing to actually look at all of the considerations, as opposed to, I want to be treated kindly, so I'm going to treat others kindly, and just stick to that one side of that spectrum of the variations of, you know, actions and things that we can do.
That's why I like the golden rule being, you know, love others as you love yourself. What I love is, you know, as you love yourself. It's not in the same way, but during, right? If you're loving yourself, you are in fact loving others. They're happening at the same time. But it starts with you loving yourself. And that has nothing to do with trying to be happy. It has nothing to do to try to be anything. It means self-acceptance. It means being whatever it is you are without resistance. Allowing yourself to be the process of growth. Allowing yourself to continue to see what it is you are capable of. To continue to see more of your sensitivity and potential. Just love yourself and you are loving everything. That said, this is the end of this very short social episode. We are going to continue on in about 12 minutes with an episode of Dualistic Unity Roundtable. Very excited about this one. We've got 4 or 5 people participating, some of which were at the retreat. So this is going to be a great conversation. If you can join us here on Twitch or YouTube Live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we would love to see you. Otherwise, it will be an episode after the fact. Andrew, thanks for joining us, man. I know that you are traveling currently, so it's great that you could make it.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is a lot of fun, and appreciate everyone for tuning in, and we'll talk to some of you very soon.